But 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, this is what the word says. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Then a couple of pages over to Titus, book of Titus. And this is Paul writing to his servant Titus. Chapter 2 and the first five verses. So the book of Titus, chapter 2, the first five verses. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to too much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young woman to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled.
Well, the series in Exodus is finished. We did that recently, just 2 weeks ago, finished that up. We had a guest last week. And now I want to look at a number of issues over the ensuing weeks when I am preaching. We've got a few others from our staff who will also be preaching along the way in the morning. So a couple of things that I've been thinking about lately. And this morning I want to talk about valuing older Christians. And we'll be thinking about that from those passages and one or two others. Now when you hear words like racism or sexism or classism or colonialism and all those other kinds of isms, they can be quite ugly words. They are often words of discrimination that will say in just that one word that some people are of a lesser worth, they have a lower value. Did you know that sizism is a thing, that it's a word? You can look it up in the dictionary, sizism. It is defined as a form of discrimination. It is prejudice against somebody on the grounds of their size. Well, a word that's spoken of more and more these days, as you read around, is ageism, which is discrimination against persons of an older age. And it is a particular problem in our time, because we live in a youth-obsessed culture. The media and the advertising industry, you look at all that, they put a high value on youthfulness. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, and it actively promotes the concept of delaying aging or reversing aging. That this must be held off for as long as possible. For aging is such a dreadful thing that it is to become irrelevant in society. Older people end up viewed as out of touch and as incapable. Why does that happen? Why does that happen in our society, that as people age, they become viewed as incapable and out of touch? And the reason is because stereotypes set in. We typically stereotype people. It's like saying that you know that a certain group of people, a certain race group, are bent towards crime because a higher proportion of green people are in jail, for instance. And because the stats say that a higher proportion of green people are in jail, all green people get stereotyped as being bent towards crime. And so sure, as people get older, certain health difficulties creep in. Maybe dementia is more common among older people. But it's not right to look at our older people as deficient and incapable mentally just because they are among the number who are having those big numbers on their birthdays. You know, when older people forget someone's name, the tendency is to think that they are senile or getting there. Senior moments, we talk like that sort of thing. But when a younger person can't remember somebody's name, we don't say that. We don't say they are going senile. We say, oh, they've just got a faulty memory. And it's a real problem, and it's wrong. I must tell you that most of the older people that I talk to in this congregation are sharp. I have challenging and stimulating conversations with many people who are well into their 80s and on into their 90s. And I love it because these conversations are also so full of and so enriched with wisdom and with life experience. This concept of ageism is a problem, and our government has noted it. And so they've got programs for dealing with it. and studies and papers are written, they find that people are overlooked for jobs as they go for interviews. Oh, because no, you're in your mid-50s now, and you don't quite get the way things are today. It's not said like that, but that's what often is underneath the rejection for the job. And the stereotype against age is reinforced by the jokes that we hear that would cast older people in a negative light. And we also see it in the kind of language that is used so often, sometimes talking about older people as an old fogey or as a geezer or an old bag or something like that. Or have you heard this one? Have you ever heard of older people being referred to as a bullet? Well, when I was growing up as a young adult, the other young adults around me might make a comment like that and say, oh, you know, Mr. Jones is such a bullet. And what they meant to be saying was, well, he's a bit of a dodderer. He's a bit out of touch. And the reason they said bullet was because they were referring to the bald head. So I must be a bullet too. And for them, typically, you know, 25 and under, this hasn't happened yet. And so and it's just not right. If we talk like this in our culture, if that's the way our culture is, then we will see old people with a negative light. And as Christian people, we need to be very sure not to drink this water of our culture. This must not be seen among Christians. It is not the way that God thinks. Now, if I had the time, I would just list for you scripture after scripture after scripture. But let me give you a few. This is what God thinks. Proverbs 16 and verse 31. Gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained in a righteous life. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Listen to them. They're not doddering and incapable and deficient. Told to listen. Leviticus 19 verse 32. You shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. See how these things are put together? It's very serious. We need to honor our older people. Or what about Job 32 and verse 37? Wisdom is with the aged, and understanding in length of days. That in the Bible is a general truth. I've been reading to you mostly now from the Proverbs and from Job as well, which is the wisdom literature. And the wisdom literature gives you general truths. Yes, there are exceptions. You do get older people who are immature. But generally speaking, the wisdom literature in the scriptures is telling us that age contains wisdom. This is what God has to say. And so there's no place for ageism. And this kind of derogatory speak and derogatory attitude, no place for this among God's people. Why do I raise the matter then? Well, because I think we need to be very careful, very sure, that we see age the way the Bible sees age. Because the culture around us can program us and affect us negatively without us realizing it. Just watch the TV shows and you don't realize what's being put to your mind. We need to be countercultural. And I think for both the young in our midst and the old in our midst, there is work to be done to push against the grain of our culture and to reject that stuff, say no to that stuff. But also to then look at the Bible and go with the grain of the Bible, to be sure to get on that track. An example of the church being badly affected by our culture is when churches set up their congregations and their services according to the ages. So 14 years ago, Kerry and I were in Sydney for a few months, and we visited a church there, and they had an early service, which was really for the oldies, like 70 plus kind of age. Then the next service, like this one, well, that was kind of for families and the working people. That was kind of the target and how they structured it. And then in the evening, they had two services. They had around about a 5 o'clock one, which was for 18 to 25. They actually said that. And then the next one, sort of seven-ish, was for 25s to about 35s. And I went to that one. And I think I was about 35 at the time. And let me tell you, I felt that I didn't belong. I felt I didn't belong there at all. And it was a horrible feeling. And no one's made me feel like I didn't belong. No one said, what are you doing here? How old are you? You know, pull out your ID. They didn't do that. But the fact that they said the service was for that target group, and I'm now leaving that target group, I felt I didn't belong. Just knowing that information. I went to go and look while I was preparing this on that church's website to see where they're at today. And I'm so delighted to see they've given that nonsense up. And it's completely different, and the services are for everybody, and they say as much. I think there was a time when there was a bit of a philosophy that was popular among churches and thinking, how do you grow churches? That they almost went the way of the world, where we market according to target ages. I'm so glad they've given that up, because that's not the Bible's picture of church. Now, with that background in mind, I want to think of three things, look at three things in the Bible that talk about how we should think about our older people. The first one is that we are to respect them. Age is to be respected. We have seen the general principle with age that that is where wisdom is to be found. Our older people have done more of life. They know more about life. Our older Christians have walked the road for much longer than the younger ones, and so they've got things to teach us. However, as I said earlier, it is a general rule. And there may be times that even among our older people that they are wrong, because no human being is perfect. Everybody, no matter how old you are, battles with sin. Nevertheless, the Lord is clear that respect is to remain at all times for older people. And so if you would have your Bible, open it at 1 Timothy chapter 5 that was read first. And I want you to look at how Timothy, who is a younger man, and he is the lead pastor in the Ephesian church, look at how he is to treat older people who are in the wrong. It says, verse 1 of chapter 5, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. The pervading thing here in Timothy's relationship with the older ones is to maintain respect. If you were to drill down into the original word here for rebuke, it is quite strong. It means to chastise somebody and to chastise them quite strongly. Now, this would be appropriate when there are some wrongs perhaps among the younger people or your peers. You can speak face to face in a very strong way and say, that is wrong and you shouldn't be doing that. And have a firmness in how you're speaking. But because of age, purely because of age, that is not appropriate when a younger person needs to speak about a wrong to an older person. Is the younger person to just leave the wrong? No. They are to confront it. But it says they are to confront it by encouraging. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him. And encourage here means to exhort. It means to lead the person in the right direction. And so it's to be done with respect. And so let me give you an example of one that happened with a friend of mine. And I thought he was brilliant in handling a very difficult situation. He had been invited to a conference where an international speaker was present. An international speaker who has written many, many books and sold millions of books. And in his earlier days, they were very good and helpful. In his later days, he started to veer into prosperity teaching and all kinds of weird mysticism about God and the Word. And this younger man, a pastor at the time in his early 30s, was appalled and devastated to listen to what this man was saying at the conference. And so, with this very serious unbiblical stuff going on, he went over to the older man, where others had been lining up to get him to sign his autograph on books. He waited aside until everyone was gone. And then he went up to the man and he said, Dr. So-and-so, I am grateful for the many helpful resources that you have put out over the years. However, today, would you allow me to speak to you as a son to a father about concerns that I have from today's talk? When you said that the Bible teaches A and B and C, I can't agree with this because in the Bible it says X and Y and Z. And so in that kind of a posture, he went in and I think he dealt with that man in line with 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 to 2. So the first thing I want us to walk away with is that right the way through, even if our older people are wrong in something, we treat them with very great care. We treat them with respect. The second thing I want us to get as we think about valuing our older Christians is that we are to expect maturity from those who are older. While we are always to respect our elders, it is not right for our elders to think that they are wise just because they are older. There are older people, as I've mentioned, who are immature. The Bible's expectation is that with the passing of time, we will become more mature as Christians. That time and maturity go together. If we are static as we grow older, if there is no growth, then we are rebuked by the Lord himself. And so I'd like you to have your Bible open. If you could just flick on to Hebrews chapter 5. There's a rebuke there in chapter 5, which I'll pick up in verse 11. It is a rebuke to Christians who should know better. They should know better, but they don't. And in a sense, the writer is telling them to act their age. He is saying that they are responsible for being immature in their Christian stand. Hebrews 5, verses 11 to 12. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain. So all that he's been unpacking in terms of Christian doctrine. He said, it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. So these people have gone static. They're dull of hearing. It seems like they've not bothered to come to the word and to feed on it and so grow. They are malnourished and they're stuck like babies on milk. And they are being rebuked by the writer. It could have been Paul. We're not too sure. And so they are told that they need solid food. And the question is, how do you get it? How do you get this solid food? Have a look at verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And what we get from this is that these people need to know the word of righteousness well. Look at verse 13 again. Verse 13 says, for everyone who lives on milk, in other words, very basic doctrine, they're not getting into the thing deeply. What does it say about them? They are unskilled. Unskilled in what? In the word of righteousness, in the scriptures. And so what are they to do in verse 14? Well, the mature are those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. Now, we know very well that the only way for people to become skilled in anything is to practice at that thing. And so it is right and proper that we are into this and growing in the Bible. They need to know the word. And so if our older people are to be of good value to us, they do need to be growing in the word. So what have we got so far? We've got that we need to respect our older people. Even if they're going wrong, we need to treat them with respect. Secondly, our older people are to be growing in maturity, in Christian maturity. So we are to expect that to be happening. And for those who have been Christians for a long time and are now in aged years, we should expect that to be there. And if it isn't, it needs to be stopped, that static state, and the practice needs to begin. Thirdly, and finally, I want us to see that our older people are meant to be mentors to younger people. The Bible's very explicit about that. And so this is where we go to Titus chapter 2, which Bruce read out for us. Talking to Titus, who's going to put the church together and bring about and seek leaders to the church in Crete. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine, etc. Then it says, they are to teach what is good. And so train the young women. And then it lists all sorts of things to train the young women in, which would come from the Bible. And then look at verse 6, speaking to Timothy. Likewise, just like with the women teaching others, likewise urge the younger men to be self-controlled. And so the younger men need to come under the mentorship of Timothy. Those who are younger than him, he would teach older as well. But there's this pattern of the older ones teaching the younger ones. It's an aspect, it's a part of how God's truth spreads through the church. And this is not surprising that this is the setup, because the church is often called the household of God. The household of God. It's a family. And so it's reasonable for us to expect that there is an aspect of teaching that goes through as the older have bearing on the lives of the younger. You know, over the years, I have known young people who long for an older man in the faith to be a father to them. And women who long for an older woman to be a mother to them in the Lord. I've actually had people tell me that, how they wish that there wasn't this sort of generational thing going on. I think of many older men who've meant a lot to me. And one of them who comes to mind is a dear fellow in the gospel, a dear fellow in the Lord. He's about 15 years older than I am, and he's now retired. So maybe 15 isn't, maybe he could have been a father to me. But I think in his bearing and how he did life, he was like a father to me, or like a very much older brother. He was a busy man, very busy in the retail world, always flying overseas. And he was also a youth leader in his church, in his local church. He was committed to that Friday night group, even though he was in China and in India and in Australia, coming out of South Africa and in the UK. He was always all over the world, but he was committed to ministry. And he used to come on our week-long denominational youth camp that we ran every year in December. We had some 500 people on that camp every year. And he came as a leader, and we needed him, and we valued him, and he came with wisdom. And, you know, you can imagine what it's like to look after 500 young people, and all sorts of things happen. They get sick. All sorts of things go wrong. They need discipline. I can tell you many stories. And if it wasn't for the wisdom of this man, we would have battled. We had a wonderful, wonderful resource in this man, this older man in Christ. And regularly, he would pick me up. He was in a different church than the one I was in initially. Later on, I ended up in the same church as him. But initially, and he would come and he would call me during the week and say, "Let's have lunch. What is a good time for you?" We'd set a time, and he'd come along to the church office and take me off for an hour and a half or so, and talk to me about how I was doing in ministry, and talk to me about how I was doing in the Lord. And I cannot tell you how valuable that was. And that is the church of God in action as it's intended to be. And so, with these things in mind, that we are to respect our older people, that we are to expect our older people to be growing in maturity, and that there is a role of mentorship, older to younger, that's meant to happen in the church, how do we leave from this morning? We respect our older people. That's been made very clear. Secondly, older people, you need to know that in God's economy, you do have a valuable role to play, a very important role to play. And so please do be growing in the gospel by reading the Bible, by being in church as a priority, to come under the teaching of the word, to be reading good Christian books, or meeting with other fellows in Christ to read the Bible together. But be growing, because your input into younger people's lives can make a huge difference in the growth of the church. Be around older people. Be around younger people. Yes, times do change, and some changes are not to your taste. Some of them might be unwise, and maybe in your being around, you can help younger people to see that. But some of them are just changes because change happens, and it's different generational ways. And in those areas are neither right nor wrong. They're just different. Don't let that keep you away. Be around younger people. We never want our services to be, this one is for the older and this is for the younger. And sometimes churches don't mean to go that way, but it just ends up drifting that way. And so intentionally, be around. I'm so glad our evening service has a good spread of ages. And if you're not part of it, and you can be part of our evening service as an older person, please come. I saw a younger woman just last Sunday sitting in the back there talking to an older woman, a much, much older woman. And they sat in the corner after the service and talked and talked and talked. I don't know what they were talking about, but I stood back and I thought to myself, that looks right. Looks beautiful. And then thirdly and lastly, younger people, the other way around. Make an effort to get to know our older people. They really are wonderful. And so look out for ways to connect with them. Why not intentionally seek ways to connect with them and to hang out with them? Come to the men's breakfast. We have a spread of ages there, but many of our older men are there. How lovely to spend time getting to know them and to talk to them. Or why not go visiting with Dirk? Dirk's sick today, by the way. He's got a bad, bad cold. But Dirk went visiting during the week with Gerard Chan. I don't know if Gerard is here. And Gerard asked Dirk if he could do that. He wanted to go out visiting and to see how you do that and to meet people. And I thought that was just a wonderful thing. So maybe you could also go and say, Dirk, could I go with you and meet some of our older people as you do your visiting rounds? Maybe younger people, you could invite someone out to coffee or come to one of the meetings, come to Cameo. It's a wonderful opportunity to meet people. What I want to say is that there's meant to be this intergenerational connecting for the sake of the maturity of the church. And so let's respect our older people and let's connect. Let's fight the generation gap thing that our culture has built up. And let's go in the good direction that the Bible has set for us. This is a wonderful church. This is a church full of age range, full of different cultures. And there is no obvious divide. Let's make it even better. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your word and its clear direction on this matter, and we would ask that you would help us to connect even more than we are now, to form relationships even further than what we have now, and particularly across the generations. And may the richness of what we have here flow through to every person who's part of this church, through the generations, as the generations connect and encourage one another. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.